As we celebrate the 72nd anniversary of the United Nations this year, it is under the theme Building the Future of the South Sudan Together. This is where the UN Day is an important day for the United Nations, and it is funded programs and agencies to showcase how we work together as humanitarian, peacekeeping, and sustainable development activity in South Sudan.
Okay. When we talk about, look at the theme, the United Nations, South Sudan, building the future together, what kind of future are we envisioning?
We are envisioning, as UN, or especially I am representing UNDP, we would like to see a sustainable, peaceful, and prosperous South Sudan.
Okay. And what will it take to build this future? Because I know UNDP is so much engaged in a lot of developmental activities.
Yes, the United Nations Development Programme in South Sudan has been here for the almost since the 1970s, and we are involved in promoting sustainable development, sustainable peace. Especially, we understand that there cannot be sustainable peace without sustainable development, and sustainable development without sustainable peace. So in both fronts, we are working in a number of areas together with our partners, both development and UN and the civil society organizations, to promote this vision of sustainable, prosperous, and peaceful South Sudan.
Okay. I know you are from the UNDP and you are the senior program advisor. Across the world, the UN has come up with these ambitious goals that sets the agenda for the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goal, SDG, as it is known. How relevant are these for building the future of South Sudan?
As you know, the Sustainable Development Goal Agenda 2030 is very, very critical for the United Nations and its member countries, in which South Sudan is one. In all aspects of development indicators, South Sudan is lagging behind in a number of areas. So the 17 sustainable goals are very, very important. As UNDP also would like also to focus sustainable goal number 16, which is about building responsive institutions, peaceful institutions, and at the same time peaceful, which is gender equitable agenda. So this agenda 2030 or the sustainable development goals are critical in developing South Sudan, bringing that prosperous and equitable, inclusive South Sudan.
Can that be achievable given the situation we are in this country?
Yes, there is. I'm sure it is. The road will be bumpy. The road will be difficult. There could be ups and downs. But from the experience of Millennium Development Goal, we have learned a number of lessons. And given the government's political commitment to do this, at the same time, given the development partners' support, I think where there is a modest chance to achieve sustainable development goal in South Sudan.
And what role can an ordinary South Sudanese citizen do to shape this future?
The first and foremost, which as UNDP I would like to say, is bringing peace to this country is so important. Sustainable development goals, the achievement of them and implementation of this in various areas requires peace, reconciliation, and the South Sudan that reconciles itself. So the citizens of South Sudan who have been fighting for their independence, the citizens of South Sudan who have got their independence through heavy toll and struggle, they have a stake in building a nation that is peaceful, building a nation that reconciles itself, and this cannot be done without South Sudanese participating in the various fronts together with government and the development partners.
And now, like you said earlier in your statement, that UNDP has been here since 70s. What has it been like for UNDP and the other UN agencies, let's say since 2011 up to date?
UNDP has been an important partner of development in South Sudan. Especially after the 2013 December, we have reoriented our program towards supporting the peace and reconciliation process in South Sudan, stability, in South Sudan. Specifically now, together with United Nations Children's Fund, Food and Agricultural Organization, and World Food Program, we have initiated a countrywide program called Recovery and Stabilization, which is focusing on bringing early recovery concept and early recovery activities into relatively peaceful zones, and at the same time also those areas that are that really heavily suffered as a result of destruction and conflict. This program is trying to balance. You know, South Sudan has been affected seriously by war, and there is a complex humanitarian situation. So our purpose as UNDP is to support the humanitarian, complement their activity through a program called the Recovery and Stabilization, which is now we are piloting in Awil and Yambio. This program brings service, social services, education, health, agriculture, together with our partner, at the same time support to local government and support to gender equitable activities and livelihood and vocational training for to combat full youth unemployment.
And yes, let me pick from there. You are saying you work together with your partners and especially the humanitarian side. You will agree with me, you have read or you have heard there has been a lot of hostilities against the ideals of the United Nations. For example, it said the UN should be, the UN is impartial, the UN is here to protect civilians. Some people have a different perception of all the activities of the UN, and the theme of this year is United Nations, South Sudan, working, building the future together. How do you address this kind of hostilities?
You know, the UN country, the UN here is an integrated mission. So we work within the United Nations umbrella. Within that umbrella, the United Nations Development Program is a global development wing of the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
So while the humanitarians are addressing pressing life-saving activities, the UNDP also would like to create balance or bridge between the humanitarian and the recovery and the stabilization need as per the new way of thinking that was declared or that came out of the World Humanitarian Summit in 2016. So we believe the recovery and the stabilization would help South Sudan and its partners, including humanitarian, to build long-term resilience in different facets of South Sudan society.
And what do you tell a person listening to us right now as we talk with you here in the studio who does not believe that the partnership between the United Nations and the people of South Sudan is critical in building the future of South Sudan is very paramount?
Yes, you see, South Sudan is a member of the international community. So the United Nations is also their organization. So every South Sudanese need to believe that United Nations is here to support their development, to support their prosperity, and to support their peaceful, inclusive country that can be that can provide all opportunities for its citizens.
Okay, you are listening to Nationwide with me, Sunny Martin, and shortly our lines will be open 091-206-2079 or 091-206-2950. And my guest is the Senior Program Advisor of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, Lee Alam Brahanu. And we are hoping to be joined online this evening by Seth Kumi, who is the Director of Political Affairs of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, which I'll be opening our lines to you shortly. You can also be part of that by also sending us a short SMS, 091-2177-141. Today is the United Nations Day, and the theme for this year is United Nations, South Sudan, Building the Future Together. And that's what we are discussing here. How do we build this future, and what kind of future are we talking about for the people of South Sudan? And my guest here is Lee Alam Brahanu, who is the Senior Program Advisor of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP. And also, like I said, we shall be joined online here in Juba by Seth Kumi, who is the Director of Political Affairs of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan. And I'm glad to inform you that right now he is on the line here. Good evening to you, Seth Kumi, and welcome to Radio Mirai.
Good evening. Welcome. I'm happy to be joining this interesting program.
Okay.
And then I think today is UN Day, so we are all happy. 72 years is a very long time. So we should, UN should be considered a senior citizen.
Okay. All right. We are talking about the United Nations Day 72nd anniversary.
Yes.
And the theme for this year has caught many attention of many South Sudanese. It is a United Nations, South Sudan, building the future together. I will ask you the same question I posed to Lee Alam here. First of all, what does the day mean to you and the United Nations mission in South Sudan?
Well, I'm a staff of the United Nations, and like all you miss UN staff, today is a very important day. In South Sudan, the UMIS, our mandate has been a partner for peace, and UMIS, our main objective is to protect civilians and build durable peace. Because without peace, I don't think we can achieve anything in South Sudan. The investors are ready. They have abundant human and natural resources. What is missing in the equation is peace.
And when you talk about UN, South Sudan building the future together, what kind of future are we talking about here?
We want to build a future that every individual who is created in the image of God would be able to use or his or her talent to the fullest, that they will not be constrained by security concerns, that people will be able to build their livelihood. There is abundant talent here. And as I indicated earlier, if South Sudan is able to achieve peace, we will see tremendous development. And I take always my intellectual roots from history, and I can refer to many countries that have overcome the kind of situation that South Sudan is going through and build some of the most prosperous. I can give example of Japan, Germany, and South Korea. And in my own country, Ghana, in 1957, was more prosperous than South Korea. We have never had a war, but you see how South Sudan, we see how South Korea has moved to a stage where it has created a lot of wealth. And I believe South Sudan, with the human population, with the youthful nature of its population, if the peace prevails, there will be a lot of external investors, and South Sudan will be able to develop very rapidly, just like South Korea.
Okay, and what will it take for this future to be built?
Well, the first is to have a political settlement. As I've indicated on your show before, this crisis in South Sudan is nothing new in human history. There's been power struggle, and if I'm to go back to my time when I was a classroom teacher, the book that I always refer to is by a Greek historian, Thucydides, who wrote in the 5th century BC on the causes of war. If I look at what he wrote in 5th century BC and I compare it to the current crisis, it will be like just reading what happened among the Greek city-states. So power struggle, conflict are just part of human behavior. What is happening, what has made this issue a little bit more complicated is that we don't see, seems to have, peace seems to be very elusive. And what we would now say is that the political leaders who are the cause of the current crisis, the elite should be able to muster courage and place the interest of the country above their own. And once they're able to reach a political settlement, I don't think there is any military solution to that, this current situation, this current crisis. So once we're able to achieve a political settlement, all the others would be resolved. So what we need to do is to seek first the kingdom of peace, political settlement to the current crisis. And this can be done if the leaders exhibit strong political will and decide to place the interest of the country above their own.
Yes, we shall be coming back to you shortly here in our program. Our lines are 091206-2079, 091206-2079. 50. My guests are Seth Kumi, who is the Director of Political Affairs, United Nations Mission in South Sudan. And then I have with me here Lee Alam Brahanu, who is the Senior Program Advisor of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, here in Juba. And we are looking at the United Nations Day, 72nd anniversary, ever since it was formed. And South Sudan is a member of the United Nations, like you heard today from the special representative. We are 193rd. So you can imagine South Sudan being a member of that. Lee Alam, UNDP has been involved, and it's known for carrying on more training. Like you mentioned, you are now focusing on this SDG, the Sustainable Development Goal, which you really want to empower some of the institutions. Can you take us through some of the key activities right now UNDP is rendering to the people of South Sudan as we speak?
Okay, as we speak, the United Nations Development Program, as a United Nations Development Program, is involved with a number of areas. One is our Access to Justice and Rule of Law Program, in which we are supporting the whole justice sector. It is a sector-wide approach, from supporting the prison, supporting the police, supporting the Minister of Justice, Judiciary, and so on, trying to create responsive institutions that can deliver justice service to the people of South Sudan.
Are you feeling the impact of your efforts?
Yes, we are feeling the impact of our effort. We have built sustainable capacity within these institutions. For example, if we take the police, we are supporting the police in terms of crime statistics, developing crime statistics. We are supporting the Ministry of Justice in promoting transitional justice activities. We are also supporting the prison, especially the prison, to be seen as a rehabilitative center rather than punitive center, mm-hmm. in which we have supported the National Prison Service of South Sudan, developing a vocational training center, which is now doing training for inmates, so it will reduce recidivism in the future.
So that when these people come out, they actually reform.
Exactly.
You want to make it like a reform center.
Exactly. As UNDP, we see prison correction. It is correction. Mm. If it is correction, it is more of rehabilitative rather than punitive. So we see from that angle. In peace and reconciliation, we are supporting the national dialogue process. We are supporting in economic activity. And in peace and reconciliation, we are also supporting grassroots consultation, grassroots dialogue, even promoting understanding and awareness among the communities, the importance of this national dialogue, which is a local endeavor towards resolving South Sudan's conflict. In livelihood activities, in Awil, Yambio, and other places, we are also providing vocational training facilities, and also especially focusing on youth unemployment and women gender equality.
Okay. Seth Kumi, there has been these mixed narratives about people's perception of the United Nations in building partnership. It's important to bring both people who believe and those who does not believe in you. Is there a strategic plan put in place specifically to address this misperception and the misconception of the United Nations in South Sudan? I'm sure you are aware about it.
Yes, I'm definitely aware, because we have been engaging our partners on this. Sunny, if you would allow me, I would like briefly to touch on some of the key things regarding our mandate and how we come to operate. As you indicated, and as the SRG stated this morning, South Sudan is a member of the United Nations. So when they seem to be criticizing and saying the United Nations, they are also talking about themselves, because they are a member state of the United Nations. And I watched on TV when South Sudan joined the United Nations in July 2011 with all the jubilation. When they signed on to be a member of the Security of the United Nations, they agreed to the Charter of the United Nations. And one of the Charter of the United Nations, Chapter 5, is the Security Council. The Security Council is a kind of international, the 15 member states where the five permanent members have a veto. So it's a rotation, the 10 members rotate. One day South Sudan would be a member of the Security Council. So when they talk about the United Nations and the Security Council, they are talking about an organization which they are member. Now I'll move on to one of the key things that has always been creating confusion in the mind of South Sudan. When the first was, once the UMIS was set up on the 8th of July 2011, they agreed, including South Sudan was consulted, that they would operate under Chapter 7 of the agreement. So this is what we've been operating under. Now, the resolution 1996, which was passed on 8th of July, as I indicated, gave us broad mandate to do capacity building. But when the conflict unfortunately broke out in December 2013, UMIS was not able to execute this mandate. So on the 27th of May 2014, the resolution 2155 gave us a new mandate that changed our core mandate and removed capacity building. But as my friend, my colleague, Leram, is saying, we still do work with UNDP to do a number of capacity building issues that is outlined. Today, if you are listening to Honorable Martin
Lemoro,
and then on 29th May, when Honorable Nunu Kumba came, they all gave the government position that they would like some form of capacity building to be restored in our next mandate. So we are operating under a Security Council mandate. So we are not here by our own will. We are here that the government agreed to certain conditions, because the government is always consulted when the mandate is being advocated. Now, we are also, I think that one of the key things that has brought a lot of tension is the Regional Protection Force. And then I'll probably come back to that later on.
And maybe very briefly, how do you address this misunderstanding?
No, I think we can do more outreach. And Political Affairs Division, in consultation with your division, the Public Information Office, we've been doing a number of outreach. We have had a lot of consultations with the 14 registered political parties. And I think through advocacy that we'll be able to explain our mandate clearly, that we are not here to hurt the people of South Sudan. We are not here to effect a regime change. What we are here, as I indicated, what we say, we are partners for peace. We are their partners for peace. We want to see, and everybody would like to see peace in South Sudan, so that people will be able to get their livelihood together. We don't have, you see all those people who have been displaced. They've been removed from the productive sectors of the economy. And we need all these people to come in and all hands on deck to rebuild the economy and to keep South Sudan on the path of development. So I think it's through our outreach program, and then through programs like this, that you give us a chance to explain to a wider audience our mandate and what we are here for.
Okay, I will ask the same question I posed to the senior program advisor earlier on before he came on air.
Yes.
There has been hostilities against the ideals of the United Nations. For example, the issue of impartiality, protection of civilians. How do you address this?
Our mandate is, we are impartial. We are here for the people of South Sudan. So in all the areas that we operate, there would be some people who will be happy with our work. There will be others who will not be happy with our work. It's human nature. And as a human organization like the United Nations, we would have the same. If it's the same thing as you have a government of South Sudan, you have some people who support the government, those who do not support the government. So any human institution is not going to have 100% support. So this is, but through dialogue, through a process of engagement, through a process of transparency, through a process of exchange of information, we will be able to put our case across, and they will be able to put their case across. And I think this is what we have started, and we will continue to do, so that they see that we are here as a partner for peace.
Yes, you are listening to Radio Mirror. My name is Sani Martin, and this is Nationwide Program. Now you can join us online, 091206 2079 or 091206 2950 and ask your question as we mark the 72nd anniversary of the United Nations today here in Juba, South Sudan, join the rest of the world in celebrating this day. And also, the theme for this year is United Nations, South Sudan, Building the Future Together. And I have with me here Seth Kumi, who is the Director of Political Affairs, United Nations Mission in South Sudan. And then I have Lee Alam Brahano, who is the Senior Program Advisor of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP. Hello, Redimire. Hello, Redimire.
Hello.
Yes, your name and where are you calling from?
We are speaking to Mabola Lad from Martin.
Okay, Mabola Lad from
from Awil San Martin.
From Awil?
Yes.
Okay, Mabola Lad, your question, please.
Thank you very much, San Martin. In the first place, I would like to welcome the guests in the studio. And I would like to say that I see you are there today, the 22nd anniversary of the existence of UN. So briefly, I will just talk like this and nothing. Now South Sudan joined the rest of the world as a member of UN early in 2011. That was 9 July. So when it has gained our independence. So in 2013, we are fallen in the worst situation until we are now. So as a total concern, I would like to ask the guest in the studio. So, say now we are in the war, and we have been in the war. So I would like to ask like this. So what hope will you tell to South Sudanese who are on the ground? Because people are dying now and then, so without any reason. So can they tell us the hope and the future for we citizens of South Sudan? And thank you very much, Martin.
Okay. Yes, Mabola Lat want to know what are the hopes the people of South Sudan can have in terms of an everlasting peace in South Sudan. Maybe Seth Kumi, you can begin.
What I would say is that they should all join the UN. We are your partners. I think we have one of the ways that we want to bring about peace is for us to be able to work with every South Sudanese to have the objective that they can change the situation. It is not only the government, but every South Sudan should have hope and should have faith that this situation is not permanent. It's not permanent. And there would be, we have introduced certain measures. I think there are number of programs that are on the way now. One is the revitalization of the peace agreement and also the national dialogue, which is complementing the peace agreement. And I would call on all South Sudanese to give their maximum support to the any activity that and work with international partners in the UN to ensure peace. And my colleague in UNDP has already listed some of the activities that we are doing, that they are doing, the agencies are doing, and what we are also doing. We are trying, we are supporting the process of the national dialogue. We are looking at also ways of increasing the political participation for an inclusive process that is credible. So this is what we are now. Turn over to my colleague to see if he has something to add.
Yes, sir. Right. Hello.
Thank you very much. First of all, what South Sudanese would like, I would like them to fight is fight hopelessness. South Sudan never felt hopeless in 1956 after independence. South Sudan never felt hopeless in 1972. They come to the Addis Ababa agreement. South Sudan never felt or kneeled down in 1983. So it is hope that
up
brings
to 2005.
South, after 2005. So one of the character of South Sudan is resilience against all odds. So I feel with the development partners like the United Nations and the other civil society organization will work together with South Sudan to make that dream of South Sudan is realized. So don't feel hopeless. Never feel that is not the character of South Sudan. In fact, the character of South Sudan is fighting hopelessness all the last 60 years.
Okay. Seth Kumi, there is a question coming from Natale Con Justin, and he says, Seth Kumi, what would you tell to some group of South Sudanese who are always accusing the United Nations of being behind the current crisis in the country and, like you said, working for regime change?
that I think I have already indicated that if they know the mandate, I would first like those people. I wish I could get them into my classroom and then we could have a more interactive. But first, they have to know that they are also part of the United Nations. South Sudanese are also part of the United Nations. We are here as international civil servants of the United Nations. So we are not here to effect any regime change, to create problems. All that they have about the UN doing all those things are misperceptions. They are not accurate. If they work very closely with us, if they study what we have done on the ground, how we are able to help, how we are able to move around, they will realize that we are not here to support any group, or we are here for the people of South Sudan to achieve peace and prosperity and development. That's why our core mandate is protect civilians and build durable peace.
Okay. And there is a question coming via our SMS from Bidal in Yei to UNDP. Say the UNDP is known all over the world for doing a lot of developmental activities in those countries, but here in South Sudan it seems like very little have been done.
No, UNDP has been doing a number of areas. Maybe we may be short of communicating. Otherwise, we have our footprint is everywhere. For example, since 2011, we have invested huge in building huge capacity in all states. We have up to 2013, we had 125 international UNVs working in different areas as part of our support to state program. So, yes, the complexity, the development complexity, the development challenge of South Sudan is huge. United Nations is one partner in this, in fighting this and supporting development activities. But we hope whatever we contribute is sustainable, whatever we contribute is making change in the lives of people.
You are listening to Nationwide with me, Sani Martin. I have my guest here. And if you would like to send your question, or you can call us live on 091-206-2079. Hello, Redimire. Hello, Redimire.
Yes, Sani Martin.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Your name and where are you calling from?
This is from Makur from Kwajok.
Makur from Kwajok.
Yeah.
Okay, Makur, go ahead with the question.
Yeah, I would like to say, my God, thank you for your being there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also say congratulations for the hard work they have been doing since they start their work.
Okay.
And also my question is, Sir Martin.
Yes.
UN has been working here in South Sudan. And they have a lot of things that they have been doing here. And also, I would like to say to them that why not for them to cover all South Sudan, those 32 states, so that UN offices should be there all over the state in South Sudan.
Okay.
So that is my question. And I will say to them, there will be a hard work never goes unrewarded indeed.
Okay. Thank you for your comment in Kwajok. And there is another comment also here coming in from Benjamin Mariel Agar from WOW. Says, I thank the United Nations for their hard work they are giving to the people of South Sudan, especially opening their doors for those who are seeking refuge in their own protection of civilian site. Maybe, Seth Kumi, you can clarify about the issue of covering the whole state, the whole country, but I guess you operate all over, right?
Yes, we have offices in all the original 10 states. And so we cover the whole country from the original 10 states. Each of the 10 states, we have a head of field office and a sort of team that works with the local authorities on the ground. And so we are covering. But remember that it is member states that determine our budget. If you compare the budget that we have and the number of staff that we have on the ground, I think we are doing very well to reach every part of the country. We may not be able to, we are here to support the government. So this is, we have budgetary constraints, but if you see, we have staff all over the 10 states.
Okay, we are almost coming to the end of this program, and I will. There is a question here I would like to pose. Actually, there are two questions: one for Lialam and the one for you, said Kumi. Said,
yes.
What is the United Nations doing? The United Nations mission in South Sudan doing currently to support the local initiative of the Homegrown Peace Initiative in the country?
One of the popular homegrown initiatives that everybody is aware of is the National Dialogue. This is a South Sudan-owned and led process. And so this is an attempt to... It will complement the peace agreement that was signed in Addis Ababa in 2015. And we are doing everything to ensure that the process is inclusive, is credible, is participatory, and it allows free participation of every South Sudanese. On the other side, we are also supporting the revitalization that IGAD is leading. And IGAD is leading, we would provide support in any manner that would ensure. So we continue to provide support to the people of South Sudan. And what they should see, that they should see us as a partner, not as an enemy. Because sir, they are also members of the United Nations. They are South Sudanese who work for the United Nations day and night. They work very hard to ensure that the mandate of the UN is achieved.
Okay. Lialam, there is a question coming from Joseph here in Juba, and he says UNDP is tasked to manage the funds of the National Dialogue. So far, what exactly can the UNDP do in order to make sure these funds which you are managing is properly utilized without any form of mismanagement by some members within the steering committee? Because that has been one of our concerns.
Thank you very much. Good question. First of all, the United Nations Development Programme, in supporting the National Dialogue, is working under the leadership of the mission, that is SRSG, Special Representative. So we are working within the UN strategy towards supporting the National Dialogue. In this case, the United Nations Development Programme has vast and extensive solid global experience on managing this type of process. For example, 2010, we managed the election fund. In 2011, we managed the referendum fund.
Mm-hmm.
So everywhere globally where we manage fund on behalf of government. So even with the start of the National Dialogue process, the National Dialogue Steering Committee requested UNDP to manage the fund. And we develop a project document which will be used as instrument of mobilizing resource. So I can assure South Sudanese, on behalf of the United Nations Development Programme, we are impartial, we are supporting an inclusive, transparent national dialogue process, which is a homegrown as part and parcel of the UN strategy.
Okay, let me begin with your final remark. I guess the future of this country lies so much in the young people. What message are you leaving them with this evening?
Yes, one is hope. South Sudan will come out of this problem and join, as my colleague Seth Kume said, will join nations, prosperous nation, in the list of the prosperous nation. Second, the young people of South Sudan, who are the majority in this country, must closely work with the national dialogue process, the United Nations, and our development partner, without losing any hope towards inclusive and democratic South Sudan.
Okay, Seth Kume.
Yes, I have only two concluding remarks. As my colleague said, South Sudan has the youngest population in the world, average age is 17. And so this is in itself tremendous potential for growth. And two things that I think South Sudan needs now. The first is peace. So we would call on those who have the ability to bring peace to ensure that they place the interests of South Sudan above their own. The second, as my colleague said, South Sudanese should not give up. They should believe that they would overcome this problem. As I've said, the only thing that is missing in the equation for rapid development of South Sudan is peace. And I would encourage that the leadership would use all the integrative mechanism to bring South Sudan to have a national identity that sees South Sudan themselves as South Sudanese, but not members of any other ethnic division. South Sudan first, and I would tell you that those of you who are young, in 10 years' time, you'll be wondering whether South Sudan ever went to a crisis like this, because the development of South Sudan will be so rapid. The agricultural potential, the mineral potential, the human resource potential. What is missing? The abundant investment potential. They are waiting just for peace. And once we achieve peace, we're going to have tremendous progress. And that's what the SRG, our boss, has always been preaching. And his message has been always, protect civilians, durable peace.
Thank you so much, Seth Kumi and Eli Brahanu, for coming to our studio. I thank you both for spending your time with us this evening.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Okay. Yes, we have come to the end of this program. My guests have been Senior Program Advisor Eli Brahanu of the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, and Seth Kumi, who is the Director of Political Affairs, United Nations Mission in South Sudan. My name is Sunny Martin, and thank you so much for listening. The program is back tomorrow.